Hey, good morning, everybody. Ah, praise God for the faithful. Man, it's cold this morning. Do you take a water there? And, hey, I'm really enjoying this new series. I know it's just a mini-series. Last week, we looked at God of My Yesterday, and we're talking about how God has a history with us that we don't even know of, but it was all based on our accepting Jesus, the work of Jesus at Calvary, based on that finished work, but based on us receiving that finished work that Jesus did for us, that we have a fantastic future in God. He has a plan and a purpose for us. He knew us from before the foundation of the world, that God has a plan and a purpose for us. And today, we're going to look at God of my today, God of our today, who is with us in this life today, that he has empowered us with his Holy Spirit to not just to be admirers of Jesus, but to be followers and even disciples of Jesus. That is God's good plan for our life. We are the body of Christ on the earth today, and as such, God is working with us to be that good representation of Jesus. And next week we'll look at God of my tomorrow, and we're going to look at the good future that God has for us, that there's a place in the Father's house for us. But picking up today, I'm just going to dive right in. Bear with me if the takeoff's a little bit bumpy, but I really know that there's a word from God for us for today. So if the takeoff's a bit bumpy, please just stay with me, because I know we're going somewhere. Picking up from last week, that God has a good plan for our lives to prosper us and not to harm us. And we looked at how God had predestined us even for things. Predestined us. Romans 8:29 was one of those verses that we touched on last week. And I want to use it kind of as our foundation scripture today. That it says that for those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. The writer of Hebrews uses this phrase. He says that it was God's pleasure to bring many sons to glory. God wants to bring many sons to glory. We are to be disciples of Jesus. We are to be his ambassadors. In other words, we are to represent him. And in order to do so, we need to represent him well. We need to be conformed to his image, Paul says in Romans 8:29. We need to be conformed to his image. And that is why so often you'll hear us saying things like, who you are becoming is far more important to God than anything you can accomplish. Because we're supposed to be changed, being changed. And it's an ongoing process in our life. It's not salvation, it's instant. You believe in Jesus. You are translated from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Your spirit is transformed. You are saved immediately. Your eternity is your forever home. But for the rest of it, for our soul, there is this transformation process where we have to learn, where God has to teach us. And he doesn't leave us alone as orphans to just get on with it. But he enables and he empowers us through the Holy Spirit. And we are called to be disciples, to be followers of Jesus, to imitate him by observation. We spend time in his word, meditating on his word. We spend time in prayer. We sang those words earlier, I've built my life on Jesus. And I thought of that parable that Jesus gave in the Gospels about the two men, one who built his house on the rock and one who built his house on the sand. The sand was easy, but when the storms came, because storms of life always come, the guys whose life was built on the rock, his house stood, the other fell, and great was the destruction. And we are called to live our lives, model them on Jesus. Jesus came to save us. Primary motivation for Jesus coming was to be that substitute, that sinless, spotless Lamb of God that would go to that cross in my place and in your place to pay the price for our sin so that we could be reconciled to God through accepting that payment that he made on our behalf. Yeah, but he also came for another purpose. He came to reveal the Father to us. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When Jesus judged, he said, I don't judge on my own. This I only judge as the Father shows me. So when he said to that woman caught in adultery, where your accuser? Has no one condemned you? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. it was just as much Jesus saying it as the Father. So don't think that when you come to the Father, he's this harsh God there with a stick waiting to catch you with a fly swatter. Do you know what I mean? When you see Jesus, you've seen the Father. So in all things, we are to imitate Jesus and walk with the Father as Jesus walked with the Father, to be his disciples. And it's a process. It's a renewal of our soul. It's our soul that needs to be renewed in the likeness of God. But praise God, he doesn't just leave us to get on with it. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 15 to 18. I think this is kind of key to where I want to go to today. Because I think when we're talking about God of my today, I think so often we miss God because we're looking in the wrong direction, we're just not looking in the right direction. And I think if we can just get our heads and our hearts back to look in the same direction, what is God's purpose for our life? Well, he told us in Romans 8:29, his predestined purpose for your life, his plan for your life is that you be conformed to the image of Jesus so that you can be his ambassador, so that you do represent him well. That is God's primary call on your life. So who you are becoming matters to God. So if this one, I might get a bit bumpy. Am I doing okay? Are you sticking with me? So if we say this is God's primary purpose for our lives, when we look at God's dealing with us in our life, let's make sure we don't push that to one side and get so busy with the things of life we forget about that, because this is where we come unstuck. Stay with me and I'll prove it to you. Okay. 2 Corinthians 3 verses 15 to 18 says, but even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are being transformed. We are being conformed to the image of Jesus from glory to glory, from one degree of glory to another. It's a process. It's a process of transformation that we are being conformed to the image of Jesus as we gaze, as we search into that word of his, into that living word. And he says, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, I think sometimes we miss it because we say, well, I want the veil to be taken away. In other words, for understanding to come, and then I'll do what I feel prompted to do. But God says, no, turn to the Lord, then the veil is taken away. You turn first to God, soften and yield your hearts to God, and then the understanding will come. You obey first, and then you get the fruit of it. Hebrews 3:7 says, now we know that repetition denotes significance, right? Hebrews 3:7, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Hebrews 3:15 says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Hebrews 4:7, guess what says? Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. It implies if you're going to turn to something or somebody, it implies that they're really calling you. Yeah, he must be calling you. Otherwise, how would you turn to the Lord? It's not your responsibility. He's not calling. How do you turn to him? But when one turns to the Lord, so the Lord is calling. It implies the Lord is calling. He's prompting. And the Lord is the Spirit. So how do we do this? So we yield. We recognize that prompting of the Spirit. But like I said earlier, and I'm sorry if it's a little bit, if we're taking off a little bit bumpy, but when I'm living life on my day-to-day basis, it gets busy, it gets messy. And so my priority in life, even though I know Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. So I need my money, I need my find my bills paid, I need all this stuff, right? I know that stuff, but life gets busy. And I know I should be seeking first the kingdom of God, and I kind of am trying, but I'm seeking God for those answers as well. And so I come to God, and I am seeking help on the temporal issues of life. I'm seeking the natural things. I need support. I need a job. I need a job big time. I need income. I need. And they're not bad things, right? And God's not opposed to those things, right? But take a step back. What is God's purpose for me? God's primary purpose for me? To be a disciple of Jesus, to represent Jesus, to be conformed to his image and likeness so that I will have the same character inside of me that is in Jesus. So God is talking to me. Today, if you will hear his voice, today, if you will hear his voice, when one turns to the Lord. So God is often prompting me in matters of character. And I fail to recognize it because I'm looking for an answer to my temporal problem. Lord, yeah, I know, okay, I just feel this inside of me. Okay, I should be kinder to that person. Or I should be whatever characteristic aspect I feel God is dealing with me about. Stand up to them or whatever it might be. Yeah? Yeah, okay, I'll do that. But how about this job? I need this job. When am I going to get my job? When is the money going to come through? Lord, when are you coming through? And God is talking to me, and I fail, not because I'm in rebellion to him, but because my focus is in the wrong direction. I'm failing to keep the main thing the main thing. I'm looking at the temporal things of life. And God promised me, though, that if I would seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, his right way of living and being, all these things would be added to me. And I kind of forget that in the mess of life. So, we turn our hearts. When one feels the prompting of the Lord, so crucial. It is so crucial. When you feel that prompting of the Lord, you turn to the Lord. You don't wait to get the understanding. Be kind to that person. It's not going to solve my money debts, but okay, that's what you're saying. I turn to the Lord. It's that softening of my heart. It's the opening of my heart. It's the yielding to the prompting of the Holy Spirit within me. You know that word, inorkeos us. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell us, and if it's inorkeo, it means to lead and guide us, but to influence us for good. To influence us for good. When I feel that influence from the good, that prompting, that nudge, so I yield to that. I trust you, God. I don't understand why. I need money. You say be kind. Okay, we're going to do be kind first. So thinking of the God of my today, and the focus is of living in harmony with the Holy Spirit. Living in harmony with the Holy Spirit. And how do we do that? By keeping purpose at the forefront of our lives. What's God's purpose for my life? What's God's purpose for your life? His primary purpose is that you become a disciple of Jesus and represent him well on the earth. There are secondary purposes as well, and there's unique gifting and calling in each one of our lives that he will bring to the forefront as we live through life. But stick with the primary, stick with the big thing. So often we miss it all because we focus on the minors and we forget the major. Last year, an example from my life. You all know the story, so I won't go into detail. But at the beginning of last year, end of 23, actually, I lost my contract, came to an end. And after 37 years in the industry, I just could not even get an interview. I was out of work for 7 months. Financially, we came through on a thread. During that time, and in fact, it was slightly just before that time, God had started drawing me into a particular scripture in the Bible, 1 John 3:1. And you're all sick of me quoting, you probably all quote it now. By now, I've said it so many times. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And that was just prior to it. And for that entire season, I could not get away from that one scripture. It was just, God, I had need of a job. Now, the beginning of the season wasn't too bad because, next week will be a better week. Maybe those people will reply to me about that application I put in. And that was a week. And then it was a month. And then it was 2 months. And then it was 3. So it got worse progressively as it went through. But nevertheless, throughout that entire period, every morning I would go to have my quiet time. And 1 John 3:1. It was just, I felt compelled to start with 1 John 3:1. And I would just meditate on the love of God. And my whole quiet time would be taken up with 1 John 3:1. Just turning that scripture over. Wow, considering that God wouldn't just receive me, but he actually would become a father to me. He would accept me he'd become a father to me. He'd be my father. He'd call me his child. What incredible love. And I'd mull this over and think it backwards, and I'd pray it to him, and I'd talk to him about it, and I'd meditate on it. But as the time period went on, the 7 months of no work, well, it was 6 months before I got my first interview. 6 months, after 37 years in industry, 6 months before I got an interview, and they gave me the job. Praise God. And they just spoke at me for half an hour, and they said, when do you want to start? It was a job I hadn't applied for. Kid you not. It wasn't even being advertised. I'd apply for something else. It landed on this person's desk, and they phoned me, and they talked to me for half an hour and said, when can you start? Okay, cool. But 6 months of no interview. But up until that period of time, do you know what it's like going onto JobServe or any of these websites day by day, and you see hundreds of jobs, and not a single one will give you an interview? Not one. I'm good at my job. I've been doing it for many years. I couldn't get through one recruitment agency. They wouldn't pass me on. They would, whatever, brush me off or promise things. And there's a feeling of rejection that kind of starts to arise in you. Do you know what I mean? After 6 months when you're not getting heard. But in parallel to this was this growing assurance that I was loved by God. It was like the perfect antidote to what was hurt, what could have really knocked me back. It took time, though. It took time. You see, I think too often we're in a hurry to hear what God is speaking into our lives. So the first thing I want to say is we need to be patient, you know. It takes time to capture something in your spirit, and that's where it starts. Get it inside your spirit. Spend the time meditating on it. Spend time meditating on it. Get it into your spirit, and then let it filter up into your understanding, into your consciousness, into your soul. How many are on, it's January now, right? So anybody sign up for the new gym membership? Anybody on diet? No, not yet. Well, you're a good bunch, that's right. But normally it's a typical thing, right? Gym memberships go through the ceiling in January because everybody's eaten too much in December, too many mince pies and chocolates, right? And the problem with that, and it's a similar sort of principle as things of the spirit, takes time. Because when you're scoffing too many mince pies and having too much Christmas pudding, you don't notice the result the next day. But come January, you notice the result. It's worked its way through. And suddenly it's like, I need to get back to that gym. Right? I've put on weight. It's the same thing with the things of the Spirit. We need to take the time. Be patient. Don't be in a rush. God is patient. God's not in a hurry. He is the God of today. He's with us today. How am I responding to life today? Am I doing it in step with God, in harmony with the Holy Spirit? How did Jesus behave? Go with the character things. Who we are becoming is far more important than what we accomplish. So, for me, in that time period, the process started with me being willing to yield. God didn't explain to me at any stage, Chris, you're about to hit this thing and it's going to be a huge mountain in your life, so you better start meditating on 1 John 3:1. He never told me that. It was just this inclination, and it was, I kid you not, if I had a quiet time and I didn't start on 1 John 3:1, before the quiet time was finished, I would have to repent, and I would go back, and I'd start all over again in 1 John 3:1. It was like, you know when you're not doing right, when God's called you something, it's like bathing with your socks on. You know, you can bath with your socks on, but it's weird. It feels wrong, right? You can do it, and it's just uncomfortable. And allow God to make us uncomfortable when we're missing it. Recognize, and turn back. And that's how it was. So, I had to yield to God, I had to turn my heart to God, and then the veil was removed. And then I could see clearly, but first I had to turn, and then the veil was removed. I had to yield. Hebrews 10:35-36 says it like this. He says, therefore, do we have it there? He says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which is great reward. So it's talking about your confidence in God, not your confidence in self. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. See, God came to me in my quiet times with this compulsion to start, a compulsion to start 1 John 3:1. Every quiet time, month after month after month. He didn't explain it to me why. He just said, do this. And I did this, and afterwards I received the reward. I obeyed first, and then I received the reward. So, if we think about this, so that's just an example in my life of recent, right? So how do we broaden this out? How do we accomplish this in our life? Well, take a step back, I think. If we are called to be disciples of Jesus, which we are, right? Then we should follow him, and we should follow the way that he modeled and instructed for us. Because like I say, Jesus also came to reveal the Father to us, but also how to model this life for us. This is how we should live this life. He modeled the life for us. Acts 10:38 tells us how, I don't think we've got the scripture then, it's fine, leave it down. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. When he's talking of Jesus of Nazareth, he's talking about Jesus and his humanity. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This is God's desire for us today. You know, I know, yeah, this is Jesus, and he's delivering people, he's casting demons out and what have you. But, you know, we're anointed of the same Holy Spirit as Jesus was. Just because my neighbor has got a fully grown apple tree with huge apples on it, lovely big ripe apples, and I've got a little sapling apple tree, I've just planted it. My little sapling is no less an apple tree than his big apple tree. Do you hear what I'm saying? So you might not be casting out demons yet, but what you have is just as genuine. It will grow if you don't despise the day of small beginnings. If you'll stay with the process, it will grow and become a big apple tree like that. So where do we start? We can start by doing good. We can start where we are, yielding to the Holy Spirit. What's he dealing with me about today? Be kind to that person. Go and read the scripture, meditate on the scripture. Suddenly, boom, you've got the answer that you're looking for. So, God's desire for us is that we should be like Jesus, and we can. John 16:7, it won't come out either, but remember Jesus said to his disciples, it is better for you that I go away. Huh? Better for us. I mean, wouldn't you rather have Jesus here preaching at you today than me? I certainly would. For sure, huh? For sure. But yet Jesus said, he's not mistaken. He said, it's better for you that I go away. Why? Because he carried on. He said, because if I go, then I will send the Holy Spirit to you. So that just as Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, you can be anointed with the Holy Spirit. He said in John 14, I will send the Comforter to you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will send another Comforter, not a Comforter, another, implying the same type as me. So it's the Parakletos. The helper, the intercessor, the standby, the one who helps and teaches and guides us into all truth, the Holy Spirit who will come and indwell us. He's given us. So we're not left as orphans to try and muddle through this on our own. He's our God of today. So we today are this body on earth, but we need to stay with purpose. Stay on purpose. Keep that the primary thing. Why has God got hold of you today, Fanwell? To be conformed to the image of Jesus, to be his disciple on the earth, to represent him. Okay, now, what about the other things? Okay, seek first the kingdom of God. Now the other things will be added. So today we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We are to be taught by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14-13 are kind of key scriptures for me in this respect. Romans 8:14 says, and I think we've got it there, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. The Spirit of God leads the children of God, the sons of God. And in this respect, actually, we know that the scripture is talking about the mature sons. The word for sons of God is huios, which means implies a maturity. There's a maturity. So we go through, you know, from the time we're saved, we are children of God. We don't know, you know, what God expects of us, and he's training us up. But once we've become mature and we've been established in the faith, God expects us to be able to turn to him, to be able to recognize his voice, to yield to him. That's what he wants of us, and he's always moving us in that direction. But 8:14, and I'm not being cute about this, 8:14 comes after 8:13, and is very important today. I tell you what, 8:13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If you live according to the flesh, if you live according to your old nature, now consider that we are being conformed into the nature of Jesus. In other words, we are to leave behind that old way of doing things, that old way of thinking, that old nature, and put on the new man which is created in holiness like Christ, right? So he says, if we live according to the old sinful nature, we will die. We will carry on, we'll end up walking back off that road, back onto that broad path that leads to destruction. God doesn't want us to do that. He says, but if by the Spirit of God working in you, you put to death the deeds of the body. And this is the character transformation that he wants to do in our lives. So that's why so often we are thinking, God, I'm looking to you, I'm expecting you to give me a nudge in this direction to help with the temporal things of today. And God is saying, I'm dealing with you about your character and we miss it. No, God is wanting us to take care of what matters first to him. What matters, why has he got hold of you? Because he's got a good plan and a purpose for your life. He's got such a fantastic purpose for our life. Next week, I can't wait for next week. Honestly, wait until you hear. Come back next week, okay? Right, that's enough. But God has such a wonderful plan for your life. But in order to get there, we are to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And therefore, God says to us, put to death. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, to teach you how to put to death the deeds of the body. This is primary. This is key. Yielding to what God wants to do in my life requires me staying with the purpose and the calling. It's to seek after the things that God is wanting to talk to us about. What is God wanting to talk to us about? Be conformed to the image of Jesus. Be my disciple. We got to do this stuff before we can go out and do great exploits. So God is helping us to be transformed into the image of Jesus by delivering us from our old nature. That old man, the Bible calls it the old man, who just so willingly, you know, saw sin and just grabbed at it. You know, we that was just our old nature. This looks good to my flesh. Both hands, I'm taking hold of it. God wants to deliver us from that because it's a soulish thing, okay? Our spirit man is reborn, but in our soul, we need to be transformed. We need to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Isaiah 55, verses 7 to 9. I don't think I've put this up there. I'll read it to you. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You know, although we are saved, we are children of God, we are born again, there are times when we can be wicked in our ways. We can be unrighteous in our thinking. We can be thinking all sorts of the wrong things, right? So can you stay with me? So God wants us, God is speaking to us, and he says, listen, don't think in those old ways. In fact, he carries on in verse 18, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's not saying, you rubbish, stay down there, you pathetic bunch. It's an invitation to come up higher. It's like, my ways are so much better. Come up, do this. But it's not by self-effort. It's not by a religion. It's by yielding to the Spirit of God. And it's that slow percolating process, that drip feeding, that change in our lives day by day. Meditate on this. Talk to me about this. Stay in this day after day, month after month, until it percolates up into our soul and we are changed. So God starts by teaching us to walk in his ways so that, and if we can stay focused on this, so that when people see us, they see Jesus. That's the purpose. That is the purpose. So I think if we stay and focus on that, we get the answers to the other things we need. Romans, we'll go with this, but hear my heart, I don't want to get too heavy. Romans says that, Romans 6, I think it was, Romans 6, 16, in fact, that don't you know that to whoever you obey yourself, to whoever, try again. Don't you know that to whom, whoever you yield yourselves to obey, you are that one's slaves, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Okay. Phew, got it. That deserves a hand clap. Come on, are you still awake? Thank you. Right. So, my point is this, right? Is that we can't waste our time taking authority over the devil if we're yielding to him in the area of sin. Because don't you know that to whoever you yield yourself to obey, you are that one's slave. So I can't be yielding to the devil on this hand here, having a good gossip and causing division or whatever. Yeah? And then coming over here and rebuking him in poverty at my door. Okay? Like, let's be consistent. It's going to be like, do you know the story of the seven sons of Sceva? They were trying to cast out demons, and that demon spoke to them through that guy and says, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? And he whipped them. They ran naked out of the house. Yeah? So, we need to make sure that, get our character right, submit to God. Resist the devil. Submit first to God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Submission comes first. And he will lead you, he will guard you, he will teach you how to put to death the deeds of the body. God is gracious. God is kind. He doesn't jump on us all at once, you know, because, you know, we're all a work in progress, right? You get saved and there's just like a mandrel of things that just need to get fixed up. And God just, he knows what's important. And just personal testimony, and kind of coming into close on this, this has been one of the key principles in my life. This principle has been key in my life for getting answers to things that I've needed in life. When I allow God to deal with me, and when I cooperate with God in those little areas of life. Now, I've been saved for 30-something years. So don't get concerned. I'm not out having affairs, or I haven't murdered anybody lately, or nothing like that, right? But I'm still so far from perfect, right? You probably wouldn't guess that. But I am, right? And when I cooperate with God in these areas of life where he's teaching me, he shows me, okay, this is how you overcome this thing in your life. And that's great. So often, I'm facing something else in my everyday temporal life, and I recognize this unction, this pushing inside me. You know that principle where you overcome this eating problem? Just apply that, but tweak it like this, and this is how you overcome this feeling of rejection. This is how you overcome this feeling of insecurity or this feeling of whatever it is. But yield first to God's will. So God is interested in our character. Stay with the things of character. Trust him that my need is finances. I need a job. God's dealing with me about being kinder to a person. Go with what God's telling me to do. Because it might just be that I'm going to be kind to this person, and somebody else in a position to give me a job is going to see it, and there's the answer to my prayer. I don't know. But do you hear what I'm saying? God is your Father. He is conforming you to be into the image of Jesus, to represent Jesus. But he still has a good plan and purpose for your life. You're not a robot. You're not just a number to him. He loves you personally. In fact, go and meditate on 1 John 3:1. He loves you perfectly, absolutely perfectly. So he's not using you as a number. You're not just enlisted in the army, right? But he does want to use you, and it's a great honor to be used by him. All right. I said the takeoff might be bumpy. Well, the ending is bumpy because that's the end. That is what I got. I just felt that is what I want to share today, that God is the God of our today. And let's be yielding to him. Let's try and put our agenda to one side, although life is messy and it can really get in our heads. But let's try and put off our needs. Let's seek what is God's need first in our life. How are we treating other people? How are we in our integrity? How are we in character aspects, right? What would God want to change in my life today? What do I think God is? And now don't go looking for demons where there aren't any, you know, and problems when there aren't any. But let's be keeping God's plan and purpose, God's purpose at the forefront of everything we seek. And I really believe we will see far more breakthrough in our lives than we could ever have imagined. Amen.